your Bibles tonight, the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Some of you probably can't remember, but before Corona came along, I was doing a little series through the book of Philippians, and I just got into back into some of that, and I believe it's some good stuff here. Hallelujah. And the Lord help us. Praise God. The last one, I'm sure many of you can't remember. I read through a lot of my notes and refreshed up, but I dealt with the last time on Paul, how that he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Right.
He said he was willing to lay down his life. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
And so he, for the furtherance of the gospel, I preached about how that Paul was ready to further the gospel. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, I must needs that I go preach to Rome, that I go preach in Rome. And
yeah.
And even though Paul was bound, even though Paul was not actively preaching on the streets like he had most of his ministry, amen, he was locked up, but God was going to use this
yes.
to get to the palace. And that kind of led to the message I preached later on, Saints in Caesar's House.
Right.
Amen. And how did those saints get there? They probably would have never got there if Paul had not been bound and sent to Rome. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I tell you, God's got a purpose, don't he?
Yes, he does.
God's got a plan in everything. Amen. We can look at troubles and trials and hardships, and we can grumble and mumble. Or we can be like John Bunyan did when they imprisoned him. And his daughter begged John Bunyan to come home, 12-year-old daughter. The judge released him, and or whoever it was, released him to go home and said, Mr. Bunyan, you're free. You may go. Amen. But the only stipulation is, when we let you out of here, you can't preach the gospel. Amen.
Woo.
Praise God. I wonder how many preachers today would take that invitation and go home and shut their mouth up.
Oh, my.
But John Bunyan said, Mr. Judge, you might as well keep me in here. Because if you turn me loose from this jail, I'll be preaching this evening on the street corner.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hey, God. And they imprisoned John Bunyan for another 12 years. Amen. But instead of getting bitter in the trial, he triumphed and he wrote the greatest book of all times next to the Bible called The Pilgrim's Progress.
Yep.
Hallelujah. So you can be triumphant in the trial or you can get bitter. Amen. And let it make you hard and hate life. Amen. You can be like Paul and write, what is it, 6 or 7? Amen. 8 of his epistles that he wrote was while he was in prison.
Yeah.
Great God. I think he wrote 13, but about half of them was while he was locked up.
Yeah.
He could have got bitter and got his pen and, oh me, oh my, I wish I was down in Philippi. I wish I was down, amen, preaching in all these places. He could have mumbled and grumbled, but no, amen. He wrote, praise God, several of the New Testament books while he was in prison.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Give us somebody, amen,
woo,
like that. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading several scriptures, but probably just start with one or two here. Amen. Maybe 19, possibly 20 to get started. And I'm going to talk to us right here on the priorities of Paul. Amen. The priorities of Paul. Praise God. I tell you, any godly man, any godly woman, any godly saint will have proper priorities.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. I feel like this is a very important message. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I love that.
Yes.
But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life
yeah.
or by death. I'm going to get some more momentarily. That's a great place to start. Amen. Amen. The first point I'd like to make tonight, in order for us to get our priorities right, amen, to have proper priorities, I feel like the number one thing that we must do, we must have a dependence and learn how to depend on God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
That's the number one priority. I believe in any godly Christian's life, amen, we must learn how to depend on God.
Yes.
We can't depend on jobs. Brother Tommy and I were talking. Those men laid out on the job where he worked bought boats and homes and cars and trucks and houses. I've seen people do the same thing at the hospital, spend their life there, and then talk about all the debt they have. And I'm thinking, how you got so much debt when you work so much? Amen.
Yeah.
Great God. But I tell you one major problem that the biggest percentage of people like that have, they learn to depend on themselves. They learn to depend on abilities. They learn to depend on jobs.
Right.
They learn to depend on entertainment. They learn to depend upon everything else. And they realize one day that that's not enough. And we must learn to depend upon God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. For Paul said that I know. Amen. Hey God, there's some things we don't know in this life. Matthew said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord cometh. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Amen.
Right.
Hey God, do you know what else sometimes we don't know? Amen. I like this. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been to the place where you don't even know how to pray?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. You ever been there? Oh, them old timers used to put it like this. You need to get in the Spirit and let the Spirit pray. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Because he said, for we know not, amen, what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Come by, Holy Ghost, and have your way.
Woo.
Amen. Great God, we're Pentecostal in this house. You know what that means? Great God, that's like old brother Leon Buzzard used to talk about his grandpa. Amen. Anybody heard old brother Buzzard tell that story? Amen. Brother Leon Buzzard with 3/4 Cherokee in him. And he said he could prove from the Bible that Jesus wasn't in them because Jesus said he was chief cornerstone.
Hallelujah.
Hey God. Amen. But old brother Buzzard said, amen, that he's good, that they had that old cow out there. Amen. And that cow got down sick, and that was their means to get milk and provide for the family. And that cow got sick. Said his grandpa got out there praying in English. But he said, oh, it wasn't long. He transferred from English to Cherokee. Hallelujah. Hey God, he said, anytime Grandpa got traded over to Cherokee, amen, you knew he's getting somewhere when he's praying. Hallelujah. But it wasn't far after that, he translated to another language, and the Holy Ghost took over. Somebody said, what happened? He said, the cow got up. Amen.
Woo.
That's what happened when Jesus comes into men.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Holy Ghost gets in, amen, in where he needs to be. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But oh, there is some things that we can know. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen.
Yeah.
Paul, you got to go to Rome. They're going to lock you up, put you under house arrest. But Paul said, I know that all things work together. I don't know what's going to come of it right now. But great God, we know what come of it. There was saints in Caesar's house.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey God, I tell you, God, I read one place, and I don't know enough in the Greek and Hebrew and all that, but one man said in the Greek, this verse said, amen, not only that all things works together for the good, but in the Greek it reads that God works all things out for the good. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe God working on both ends, and he works it out for the good. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you can trust God, even though you're in prison, Paul, even though you got to go to Rome and stand before Nero, God's working it out for your good. Amen.
Woo. Yes.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Paul knew that he had two great supports. I want you to listen to this, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through whose prayer? Through your prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. He had human, personal support. Hey God, let me tell you something. I realize you're a big eye. Amen. But you got to have people supporting you. Amen.
Yeah.
You need friends, whether you believe that or not.
Right.
You need people in your corner helping you pray. I thought about this man. I was praying a prayer request. Amen. This brother that's losing his wife. Amen. and he's got to free him to text you and say, I'm in the hardest battle of my life. Been married to this wife all these years, and I wish I could just hear her say, I love you one last time. He's got a friend to call. Thank God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get on the other side of it on the Spirit here in a minute, but you need friends. And so the Bible said, if you want friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. Amen. Thank God in him. And do some of us some good sometimes to smile. And as old brother, amen, Russell McDonald said, amen, with them teeth or where they used to be one. Amen. Thank God, smile. Amen. Be friendly. You want to get along with people. Sometimes it takes an effort, don't it, Brother Gene? Sometimes it takes an effort. Put forth an effort. Amen. I remember when the girls were a little bit younger, we'd go to other churches, go to youth camp, and they'd just stand around and would talk. And me and Michelle would get on and we'd say, hey, get out there and talk. Get out there and make you a friend. They said, well, I don't know what to say. Hey, amen. It ain't hard. Just go say, hey, great God, are you good at shooting the bars? Boy, talk. I guess girls talk about braiding hair. Amen. Things like that. Just go say, hey, what kind of bow you got? Amen. What kind of fish you been catching? Have you ever killed a big deer? That's how you get to talking. Amen. Before you know it, he killed a big deer and you killed a big deer. Hey, thank God, just be friendly. Yeah. Amen. Paul said, I got friends. I know I'm locked up. I know I'm in the hardest trial and maybe that I've ever been in my life. But thank God, I've got friends. I've got Timothy. I got those that's in my corner and they're praying for me. I tell you, you may not believe this, but when you're up against it, you can feel when somebody's praying for you. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt it when you had somebody in your corner? Hey, God in heaven. It's like a trainer to a boxer. When that boxer's out there and the opponent's beating him up real good, there's been a many times that old boxer get beat up, look like gonna get knocked out, but he's got somebody in his corner and he said, hey, I tell you what you're doing wrong. You're doing this wrong. And if you'll correct that, you knock him out. And he corrects it. And he wins the fight when he should have lost. Why? Because he had somebody in his corner. It's more valuable than what you know. Thank God, give me friends in this world, Lord. Help me to learn to get along. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
It's more important than what you realize.
Yes, sir.
Have somebody you can get along with. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. Paul said, amen, not only have I got friends in my corner, amen, he also had the support of the Holy Ghost, amen,
yeah,
of your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Thank God for friends, and I believe they're very needful. But the most needful of all is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Not only do we need it, we've got to have it. Amen.
Right.
I don't believe you can make it through this life. I'm not Holy Ghost or nothing. I know some are. Amen. I believe you need the Holy Ghost. I believe you should pray and seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe we're living in a time where people don't desire it like they one time did. Amen. I believe you need to pray and you need to waller in the altar and you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, because it is the power of God that comes down. I like what that brother said last week. Somebody said, hey God, I got saved, and they told him I need the Holy Ghost, and he said, well, does the Holy Ghost, amen, is it any better than what I got? I love that. Did you catch that? Is the Holy Ghost any better than salvation? He said, oh no, the Holy Ghost ain't no better than salvation, but it makes salvation a whole lot better. Hallelujah. It gives you power to overcome. Amen. It gives you joy in this world. It makes what you got a whole lot better. Amen. Give me the Holy Ghost. Give me the power of God to be able to run in this old world and make it. I need the Spirit of God. And Paul said, I feel the prayer of my friends. And not only that, I feel the Spirit that is within me. We need the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
He's a companion. Did you know that?
Yes, he is.
He was Job's companion when Job lost all his kids, when he lost all his money. Amen. And you say this, and people look at you weird, but he lost his wife too.
Sure did.
She never died, though. But she said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? She gave up on life. She gave up on her husband.
Yeah.
She gave up on everything. Just curse God. Give up, Job. He lost her too. But thank God, John 14 and 16 said, and Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter. That he may abide with you. How long is he going to come?
Forever.
Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven. Boy, it's good. Amen. John 14, 26, 10 verses later. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that's pretty plain, ain't it? Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's one good reason why you need the Holy Ghost. He's a teacher, amen. He'll teach you how to walk. He'll teach you how to dress. He'll teach you how to talk. He'll clean your mouth up. Hey, God, you won't cuss no more. Hey, you'll spit white. Hallelujah. Hey, God, you'll give the things of the world up. He'll teach you how to live and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said to you, amen. God, give us the witness of the Holy Ghost, amen.
Lord.
Woo! Yeah. So that's the first point. We have to learn to depend upon God. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, God, verse number 20. I'm going to get another one out here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, hey, God, I want you to notice this, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul said, I have made a decision to follow God no matter what.
Right.
Somebody with the right priority has made their mind up. They have made a decision to follow God. Amen. Not only are they going to depend upon God, but they have decided, amen, here's the way I'm going to walk. No matter what comes, no matter what goes. Listen this. This gets better. According to my earnest expectation, this word expectation, amen, in the Greek means a looking away from, ignoring other interests, to turn your head from anything else.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I don't mean to be ugly right here, but I pulled in down to Rich Gas Station this evening after I dropped them boys off and I got them mowing, put some gas in my lawnmowers, and I seen these two guys pulled up in a truck next door. I'm over pumping my gas. I wasn't trying to stare at them, but man, they's gawking, and they kept a gawking. I thought, what are they gawking at? And I finally turned my head and I thought, I see what they're gawking. Connect. Hey, God. But Paul said, hey, amen, if you really make a decision and decide to follow God, when the devil brings things out for you to see, and the devil flashes the bright, shiny lights of the world, you'll turn your head away from the world and toward God. Make a decision. I'll follow you, Lord, no matter what. I come to tell you, church, you can make your mind up. Hey, God. Hey, to follow the Lord. Amen. The eager, intense look which turns away from everything else to fix on that object of desire, to watch with the head outstretched. That's the way I'm learning, leading. That's the way I'm, amen, reaching for. I'm reaching toward God. Amen.
Yes, yes, Lord.
2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
We're all going to do that. Did you know that?
Come on now.
Every last one of us is going to stand in the judgment. Amen. Paul knew this as well, or not better than anybody. Amen. He said, I'm going to stand before God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We're going to be judged for the good deeds we've done as well as the bad. Amen.
Right.
This word appear means to be manifest without disguise. You cannot hide when you get in the presence of God. Paul knew that the Lord could not be fooled. Amen. But when I looked at that, I thought, well, Isaac got fooled. Remember when Jacob and Esau? Amen. Jacob was trying to get the birthright and Esau was hairy. But Isaac's eyes were dim in his old age. So, amen, Rebecca told Jacob, said, Jacob, put a fur on, put some hair on, and go in and deceive your father. Amen. And the
father gave the birthright to the wrong son because he got deceived. Paul said when we stand before God, there'll be no deception. He can look right through that. Amen. Oh God, I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when I got to stand before him. Hey God, I came to see God. I can't act like something I'm not. Hey, but Lord, I got to be ready.
Some people's professional liars.
Yeah, they are.
I got one that works for me. Professional liar.
Oh, Lord.
I never heard some of the stuff that guy comes up with. But Tommy said, everybody show up this week? I said, yeah, they showed up, but late and here, there, and yonder, all hit and miss, you know. Well, Bill, he goes down to that clinic, you know, that's a known thing. I knew that when he started helping me. Goes down to that, you know, recovering clinic down here. And we're supposed to go get him the other day. I talked to him. I said, Bill, I'm coming downtown. I had to go downtown anyway, so I'm down here at the clinic. I said, I'll run by there. I usually pull across the street from McDonald's, and he walks out and hops in the truck, and we go on down the way. I said, Bill, I'm out here. He said, I'll be over here in just a minute. Well, he never showed up. Gary looked, I looked. We tried to find old Bill. He wasn't nowhere to be found. I called him, no answer, no answer. Well, for when I first called him, I don't think he meant to answer, but he got him a girlfriend now. And his girlfriend answered, amen. And Gary done said, if he's running with that girl today, he ain't interested in coming to work, amen. And so he told me he is there and he's ready to go. I never heard hide nor hair from him all day long, called that guy and everything. I said, Bill, I need you. Where in the world you at? Amen. A day or two later, finally Bill showed up. Gene, I thought, what's a guy going to give an excuse for this? Can't he just say, I had other things I'd rather do is go out and eat and mow grass all day. I figured he'd just man up to it and say, I just wanted to take a day. But now he said, you'd never believe this, Jason. He said, just as soon as I hung up the phone with you, he said, I hit the ground, had a seizure right down there at that clinic. He said, I had a seizure. Amen. And it took all kinds of them to get me back awake. Amen. Hey God, I come to tell the wolf that don't beat all I ever heard. Amen. Hey, let me tell you, you can't have no excuse when you stand before God. And the Lord said, why didn't you give me your all? Why didn't you mark up and live for me? Hey God, why didn't you buckle down and leave the world and give your all for the kingdom of God? We can't give no excuses on that day. But Paul said, we're going to stand before the very judgment seat of Christ. Amen.
Lord.
Yes. I'm not ashamed. I love this. Of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Hey, God, I've got a bad record. Amen. When I was Saul, I persecuted the church. I killed the church. I killed those that lived for God. I imprisoned them. I persecuted the very thing of God. Amen. He made mention several times that he regretted that past, but thank God, from that Damascus road forward, he said, I got a record that I'm not ashamed of. Hey, God, I've got a good record. Hallelujah. Amen. For it is the power of God. I love this. Everybody knows what power means. In the Greek word, this word power means dunamis. This is an explosive, overwhelming power. It's where we get our word today, dynamite, from. Hey, God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul said it's power. It is the power of God. It's explosive. It'll save sinners. It'll heal the sick. It'll stir the backslider. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I gotta move on here.
Holy, holy God.
Thirdly, amen. Not only do we gotta decide to follow him, later in the same verse here, amen, we must dedicate. You know, we're living in a time where there's a lack of dedication.
Sir.
Lack of dedication.
Yep.
We're more dedicated to jobs I know I've been on that, and I'm gonna be on it for a while. Don't worry.
Come on.
Hey God, we're more. I tell you this: whatever you're dedicated in your life, that's what you're loyal to. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God for a job. I gotta go to work too. If I don't go to work, who's going to feed all them kids? Amen. If I don't go to work, who's going to put shoes on their feet? Amen. I understand about work. I really do. I'm not against the job. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he that will provide for his family has denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. And God, what's an infidel? That's somebody that don't even believe in God. Amen. God said, if you're too sorry and lazy to get a job and work and provide for your own, amen, then you're in bad shape, amen. Hey, God, I believe in a job, but here's the problem. We're living in a generation that's more dedicated, amen, to jobs and houses and land and cars and boats and entertainment than they are to God. That's why we're having a lack of power. That's why the church is in the midst of a drought, because we're not dedicated to the things of God.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
We got to be dedicated. Let's move on here. Amen. My earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of God, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. Circle that one, amen.
Right.
Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Amen. Hey God, I love that word. What does magnify mean? It means to exalt, to glorify,
right,
to make great or enlarge. Amen. The girls and Michelle's got this mirror to house. We all was outside yesterday evening cutting the boy's hair. Michelle cut mine. Amen. Hey God, Charlie got one too. Hey, they brought that old mirror. It's a little round mirror that flips, you know. One side of it, you look in it, it's a bad image, you know.
Yeah.
Hey God. But the other side, you look in that thing, I think it says on the bottom 10X. Hey God, you don't want to look in that one. Amen. Woo! You know why? It magnifies what it's seeing. You look in there and you think you're going to see your face, and you see your nose about this big around. Amen. It magnifies. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want to magnify Christ. Amen. It's not about Jason. It's not about what I want to do. But thank God, everything I do, let it bring glory to God. Let it magnify His love. Let it magnify His grace. Amen. How can I make Christ great in my life? We can magnify Him in that sphere of the unbelieving world where He is minimized and mocked. Let's lift up Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey God, Mary. Hey, amen. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. John the Baptist in John 3:30 said, He must increase, but I must decrease. I want to magnify Him. Hey God, I want to be like those saints down in Antioch where they were first taught Christians. You know why? Because they said they look and act like Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I said I want to magnify Him. I want to lift Him up. I don't want the world to see me, but I want them to see Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo! 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?